Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin.
I'm your host, Mark Levin, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. For a special Thursday show, if you're expecting Leslie Marshall, unfortunately she is ill today. But when she asked me to fill in to her for her on Comey Thursday, obviously I jumped at the chance. Like anyone who's interested in politics in America, I was one of the millions of people, probably you were too, who watched the riveting testimony of former FBI Director Jim Comey this morning. Frankly, his testimony that I read to you on the air yesterday was, I thought, riveting, but he filled in a lot of holes. He gave a lot more information, I thought, today. Well, not a lot more, but really interesting little tidbits today. And I'm going to go through them, as many as I can remember, with you. Now, had I known I was going to do the show before just a couple hours ago, you know, I'd do what I'd normally do. I'd play for you all these carefully crafted tapes of specific testimony and then comment on it. Unfortunately, I just don't have Rachel Maddow's staff or the staff of CNN. If I had, you know, 30 people to find me all these clips, it's just me and my trusty producer, Mark Grimaldi, and we just didn't have the time to get it all. So we've got some clips for you. But mostly, I'm just going to go through what I remembered and encourage you to tell me what you remembered, what you thought were the most important moments from today's testimony. Obviously, just dial in at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. The things that I noticed most of all were that, for one thing, the Republicans really didn't have much to defend Trump on, and most were running away from it. There was a big to-do over the fact that Trump didn't directly order the Mike Flynn investigation to be quashed. He said, I hope that you will let him go, which, of course, I read to you the text of that yesterday. And, yesterday when actually a caller who was defending Trump called in at the last bit of my show, he said that he felt – see, Trump didn't say
– yesterday when
he didn't say, end the Flynn investigation. He just said, I hope you'll let him go. So when that caller called in, let me play for you, if you missed it, the clip from yesterday. You got it, Mark? You know, you can read what you want to read. I'll tell you this, Charlie. In the 12th century, there was a British king, I think it was Henry II, that had a priest that was criticizing him. And he mused openly, will no one rid me of this meddlesome priest? At which point, Sir Thomas A. Becket was murdered in the church a few days later. I think the signs are pretty clear, but you and I will both watch Jim Comey's testimony tomorrow. That's exactly how I ended my show yesterday, and I had a wonderful ninth grade Western civilization teacher. I still remember the story of St. Thomas A. Becket murdered at the church while he was praying, which is really bad form. What happened was he was the Archbishop of Canterbury in the 12th century. He and the King of England had a lot of disagreement over church-state power. Some things, I guess, never change. In any case, he was giving the king a hard time, at which point the king said, with several of his knights around, will no one rid me of this meddlesome priest? At least that's how Shakespeare recorded it in his play Henry II. At which point the knights gallop off to the church and bludgeon him to death while he's praying. Now, the king didn't order the knights to kill this very difficult priest, this Archbishop of Canterbury, who was making his life so difficult. He just said, will no one rid me of this meddlesome priest? And lo and behold, his knights exactly did that. Well, I thought, you know, it's kind of an obscure piece of history, but apparently I'm not the only person that knows this obscure piece of history and thought of it when I heard Jim Comey testify that Trump had told him, I hope you can see fit to letting Flynn go. Not, I order you to let Flynn go. I hope he can see fit to letting Flynn go. In fact, Comey himself referenced the same 12th century murder. Let's play the clip from Comey just a few hours ago. Yeah, this was Senator Angus King of Maine.
In terms of his comments to you about, I think you were in response to Mr. Risch, Senator Risch, he said, I hope you will hold back on that. But when you get when a president of the United States in the Oval Office says something like, I hope, or I suggest, or would you, do you take that as a directive?
Yes. Yes, it rings in my ear as kind of, will no one rid me of this meddlesome priest?
I was just going to quote that in 1170, December 29, Henry II said, who will rid me of this meddlesome priest? And then the next day he was killed, Thomas a Becket. That's exactly the same situation. We're thinking along the same lines.
So I don't know whether Senator King and Jim Comey were watching my Facebook post yesterday or listening to my show at marklevinetalk.com, but probably not. Probably not. Probably we just all thought of the same thing. Sometimes when you imply something very strongly, it's just seen as an order, particularly when the person has power over you. Now, the Republicans, specifically Idaho Senator Risch, tried to make this distinction, much as my caller did yesterday, between he only said, I hope you'll get rid of Flynn, not I demand you get rid of Flynn. Let's play that testimony, Mark.
To the most recent dust-up regarding allegations that the President of the United States obstructed justice. And, boy, you nailed this down on page 5, paragraph 3. You put this in quotes. Words matter. You wrote down the words so we can all have the words in front of us now. There's 28 words there that are in quotes, and it says, quote, I hope, this is the President speaking, I hope you can see your way clear to letting this go, to letting Flynn go. He is a good guy. I hope you can let this go. Now, those are his exact words. Is that correct?
Correct.
And you wrote them here and you put them in quotes?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you for that. He did not direct you to let it go.
Not in his words, no.
He did not order you to let it go.
Again, those words are not an order.
No. He said, I hope. Now, like me, you probably did hundreds of cases, maybe thousands of cases, charging people with criminal offenses. And, of course, you have knowledge of the thousands of cases out there that where people have been charged. Do you know of any case where a person has been charged for obstruction of justice, or for that matter, any other criminal offense, where they said or thought they hoped for an outcome?
I don't know well enough to answer. And the reason I keep saying his words is, I took it as a direction.
Right.
I mean, this is the President of the United States, with me alone, saying, I hope this. I took it as, this is what he wants me to do. Now, I didn't obey that, but that's the way I took it.
So, let's set the scene. It's Valentine's Day, February 14th. It is the day after Trump has just fired Flynn. In fact, you may recall that a week into his presidency, Trump was warned in the strongest possible terms by Assistant Attorney General Sally Yates that Flynn was a danger, that he was at the very least compromised by the Russians, and he might well be a Russian spy, but at the very least he was being blackmailed, compromised, controlled in some way under the spell of the Russians. She told Trump that a week into his presidency. Of course, he fired her, largely because she defended the Constitution on his Muslim travel ban. But it took him 18 days to then turn around and fire Flynn. In fact, he didn't fire Flynn. He refused to fire Flynn. He did nothing about Flynn until the Washington Post came out with the story about Flynn's connections with the Russians, and the fact that the vice president had lied about it to the American people. Again, no correction until the Washington Post exposed the lie, at which point he fired Flynn the next day. Okay, now, the next day, the very next day after firing Flynn, it is Valentine's Day. And Jim Comey has a, like any good husband, a romantic evening planned with his wife. They're going out for Valentine's Day. It's very sweet. And suddenly the president gives director, then director, FBI director, Jim Comey a call, lunchtime, and says, hey, I want to invite you and your family over for dinner, get to know you better. This time, just bring you. We'll bring your family next time. Jim Comey thinks it's a little weird. He, you know, does what the president wants. He cancels his Valentine's Day with his wife. And he shows up at a dinner that he fully expects will have many, many people there. And lo and behold, and I'm sure this will be in the movie. It's like a horror film, right? It's just him and Donald Trump in the green room of the White House with a single oval table. I don't know whether they did it by candlelight or not, where he's invited to the table, served by two Navy stewards who just serve the meal and then get out and close the door. And it just seems to me that either this is how Donald Trump normally conducts his business sessions when he's trying to do a shakedown, or at least that's the way the mafia might do it. He asks repeatedly in that conversation Donald Trump asks repeatedly for Jim Comey to give him loyalty. Not respect for the law, not competence, not do your job, but loyalty. Well, I think we all know what the word means, right? If doing the right thing is just coincidentally loyal, then loyal has no meaning, right? If doing your job is just doing your job, then what does loyalty mean? Loyalty means that when times get rough, when you are considering not doing what I want you to do, do what I want you to do, right? It's a very clear message, and Donald Trump repeated it repeatedly. Now, it's true that Trump wasn't stupid enough to say, I direct you to cancel the Flynn investigation. He said, I hope, he's a good guy, Flynn, I hope you'll consider, not even you'll consider, didn't even say you'll consider, I hope you'll find a way, I think is the words he used, to let Flynn go. Well, now this is after, this is really important. Trump, as soon as he gets elected, praises Jim Comey. He's obviously very pleased with Jim Comey's conduct. After all, Comey is largely the reason why Hillary Clinton lost the election. Frankly, I think he's the reason, along with other reasons, the Russians and other things. But certainly if Jim Comey had not acted in the way he had, which I've argued many times is improper, Trump wouldn't have been elected. So he's very thankful, obviously. And he tells Jim Comey several times early on during the transition that he wants him to stay at his job. But nevertheless, on February 14th, this warped Valentine's Day, Trump says, you know, I know you want to keep your job, or some words to that effect, which is weird because, again, it's a 10-year term. The FBI director isn't normally fired in that 10-year term unless the FBI director has committed misconduct. And yet he can be, and everyone knows that. And, well, as Comey said, it was like a patronage relationship. In other words, he felt that Trump was saying, hey, I'm leaving you in your job. I want something back. I hope you'll consider letting Flynn go. Well, as Senator Kamala Harris of California put it, hope from someone who has power over you isn't exactly just wishful thinking. Let's play what she had to say.
You know, you and I are both former prosecutors. I'm not going to require you to answer. I just want to make a statement that my experience of prosecuting cases when a robber held a gun to somebody's head and said, I hope you will give me your wallet, the word hope was not the most operative word at that moment. But you don't have to respond to that point.
Yeah, so I think she makes the point very eloquently in a short period of time. We're going to take a break. There's a lot more to talk about. What were your things that you saw that you thought were most interesting in the hearing? One of the things I found most interesting is there's something secret that Jeff Sessions, our attorney general, has done with the Russians that we don't know yet. That's what I got out. I'll tell you why when we come back. 888-48-MARK. Right back after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK.
That's 888-488-6275.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Special broadcast today going over, of course, the Comey testimony. If you want to add your two cents, just pick up the phone. Dial 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Just a quick segment here. I want to play just the nature of what's going on with Russia. Because we should never forget why we're here. It's not just, and I say just because I think it's partly, to impeach Donald Trump. But also, very importantly, to recognize that our foreign adversary, indeed probably our greatest enemy on the planet, has a goal of destroying our democratic culture. And indeed, by causing Donald Trump to be elected, that's exactly what they did. But this is broader than Donald Trump. Let's play some of Comey's testimony today with Senator, was it Senator Heinrich, Mark, or Senator King? All right, let's play the one, which is the shorter one. Play that one. Well, the one with Senator King. Go ahead.
Was the Russian activity in the 2016 election a one-off proposition, or is this part of a long-term strategy? Will they be back?
Oh, it's a long-term practice of theirs. It stepped up a notch in a significant way in 16. They'll be back.
I think that's very important for the American people to understand that this is very much a forward-looking investigation in terms of how do we understand what they did and how do we prevent it. Would you agree that that's a big part of our role here?
Yes, sir. And it's not a Republican thing or a Democratic thing. It really is an American thing. They're going to come for whatever party they choose to try and work on behalf of. And they're not devoted to either, in my experience. They're just about their own advantage, and they will be back.
That's my observation. I don't think Putin is a Republican or a Democrat. He's an opportunist.
I think that's a fair statement.
And I think it's something for Republicans to remember. This is indeed about Russia hacking into our election. And yes, of course, Donald Trump. One of the fascinating things about Trump is that he's so stupid that he actually implicates himself. One of the reasons why we have the Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution and the ability not to incriminate oneself is because stupid criminals will say things that incriminate themselves. And clearly Donald Trump wasn't listening to legal advice when he told Lester Holt, yeah, I fired Comey because of the Russia thing. You know, when Comey was first fired, I argued that it was a good thing. I did not think it was appropriate or fair or ethical the way Comey treated Hillary Clinton. He violated Justice Department guidelines. I still believe that. I still think that while I think he's trying to protect his reputation, at the end of the day, I think he did a really bad thing. I'm glad he's no longer FBI director. But the other fortunate thing for me and for you is it was really the firing of Jim Comey that set this ball into motion, that turned Comey into an enemy, that caused Comey to testify today. So actually, I think the firing of Jim Comey for the nation will turn out, in hindsight, to have been a very good thing. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275, back after this.
Back to the aggressive progressive, Mark Levine.
Back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine. The number of callers on the line, I will get to each and every one of you. James, David, Ken, hang on with me. Before I get to you, though, I want to talk a little bit about Jeff Sessions. Now, many of us had problems with Jeff Sessions from the beginning. Obviously, he's one of the few senators that voted against the Voting Rights Act. He's a senator with a long history of a racist past. I've talked about it in prior shows. But the specific thing in this case, of course, is he lied under oath in his Senate confirmation process about his personal contacts with the Russians, which is why it has been said that he chose to recuse himself. But even after that lie was exposed, Sessions did not recuse himself right away. It took him a long time. Frankly, Trump did not want Sessions to recuse himself and is reportedly very angry at his attorney general before recusing himself, which eventually led, of course, to the appointment of special prosecutor Mueller, William Mueller, the former FBI director that everybody respects. Now, Trump knew that an independent investigation would get him in trouble. What's interesting, if you read between the lines of Comey's testimony today, he was asked, well, why didn't you, when you saw that Trump was basically trying to obstruct justice, or at least you thought it might be the case, why didn't you go to your boss, the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, and tell him about these weird conversations where he hopes that you end the Flynn investigation and where he wants you to promise loyalty and where he basically holds your job over your head? The things you wrote memos about, Jim Comey, why didn't you tell Jeff Sessions? Listen to what Comey had to say about that.
How what you're doing will affect the boss as a significant consideration.
Let me turn to the Attorney General. In your statement, you said that you and the FBI leadership team decided not to discuss the president's actions with Attorney General Sessions, even though he had not recused himself. What was it about the Attorney General's own interactions with the Russians or his behavior with regard to the investigation that would have led the entire leadership of the FBI to make this decision?
Our judgment, as I recall, was that he was very close to and inevitably going to recuse himself for a variety of reasons. We also were aware of facts that I can't discuss in an open setting that would make his continued engagement in a Russia-related investigation problematic. And so we were convinced, and in fact, I think we'd already heard that the career people were recommending that he recuse himself, that he was not going to be in contact with Russia-related matters much longer. And that turned out to be the case.
How would you characterize...
Did you hear that? Did you listen between the lines there? Because that was subtle, and it's not something that the news has mostly picked up on. He said that there were a variety of reasons why he knew Sessions had to recuse himself related to the Russia investigation. Things he cannot talk about in an open setting. Well, why couldn't he talk about it in an open setting? To me, the clear implication is he is investigating the Attorney General. The Attorney General of the United States, supposedly the lead law enforcement officer of the United States, is also part of the investigation. They were investigating him before the appointment of special prosecutor. It's why he felt that Sessions had to be recused. Apparently, there are a number of Russia-related matters that can't be talked about in open session. No wonder Trump won't say publicly whether or not he has confidence in his own attorney general. Watch this part of the story. I think this is a seed, and I think it's going to grow, and I think we're going to talk more about it over time. The reason I called today's show Give Me an Eye is because I think this is a very long play, maybe 11 acts. There's 11 letters in the word impeachment. This is just an I, and every time I think the investigation moves forward, I'll add another letter. Now, a whole bunch of you have been hanging on the line. I want to get to each and every one of you. Let's start with James on line 3 in Avondale, Arizona. Go ahead, James.
Yes. Trump does a lot of hoping. He also hoped that there was not a tape of the conversation between Comey and himself.
Well, what he said in a tweet was he said that he thinks that Comey ought to hope there's no tape.
Yeah, but Comey
right. But Comey said today he's fine. You think he said something like, "Lordy, I hope there are tapes." Because
that's what I mean. Yeah,
right. Because Comey's confident that he'll be exonerated as telling the truth, and that Trump will be shown to be a liar. So, in fact, he said today, Comey said very clearly, if there's a tape, go for it. I got no problem with it.
Okay, so all Trump had to do was add a change to that, and he has plagiarized Obama's campaign slogan.
Yeah. Trump's got a lot worse things. His wife obviously plagiarized Michelle Obama, but I think Trump's got a lot more worrisome things to concern himself with than that right now. Thanks for your call, James. Let me go to Ken, line 4 in New York City. Hey, Ken, how are you?
Hey, Mark. So I've been listening to everything that's been going on today, and I've got to say Republicans have spent the past few years between Gowdy and Chaffetz and the rest under this so-called operation of oversight, and they're really showing their true colors today, and that they're really rusty at governance and really don't know how to govern this country. And I think that's one of the most frightening things going on here. And the second part of why I called in is they're really leading this misinformation campaign that the Russians started in 2015 and 2016 with a lot of their messages they're delivering today. We've heard only alternative narratives and strategies from Republicans, and I'm really worried, where do we go next in terms of messaging-wise and getting the truth out there? Really, what Comey said, what did he actually say when we're hearing the president's own personal lawyer make these claims that the president isn't or wasn't under investigation, when we know that Comey didn't say that exactly at the time? And so,
I think this is cutting through. I think that Jim Comey's testimony today, that's why I gave it the first letter I in impeachment. It's an 11-act play. We got a while to go. I do not think the president's going to be impeached. I had a good friend of mine actually post on Facebook today, you think he'll be gone in weeks? And I laughed. I said, no, he won't. Probably won't even be gone in months. I'm quite confident that nothing will happen before 2018 at the earliest. In fact, I think 2018 is going to be a referendum on impeachment. For the first time ever, really, we're going to have a national election where the question will be, if you want the president impeached, vote for the Democrats. If you don't, vote for the Republicans. And if the Democrats win the House in 2018, I think they will have a mandate for impeachment. By then, Mueller should be back, and I think Mueller's very good, and he'll have detailed the facts and have laid them out before the American people. And then I actually think it could happen. But it is a long-act play, and you do see Republicans trying to defend him. But it seems to me that their defenses are getting weaker and weaker. They don't know what shoe's going to drop. See, it's really hard for them to really defend their president because they know he's a liar. They know, and by the way, I've not met a single Republican in private who won't tell me in private that they think Donald Trump is incompetent, a liar, a mess. They all tell me this in private. And publicly, sometimes they say other things. But, they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. They're stuck between Trump's base, which is down, by the way, to 34%, but is still a third of the country, and which is their base, and what they know to be true. Because now most of these Republicans are not idiots, a few of them maybe, but most of them aren't. They know that Trump's a liar because, everything in our human experience tells us that Trump's a liar. I have lots of disagreements with Jim Comey about the way he conducted the Hillary Clinton thing. I've said that loudly and clearly. But that was me attacking his judgment. I've never thought that he was untruthful. And, compare Jim Comey to Donald Trump, there's just no comparison. So I think the Republicans, I really do think 2018 will be a very, very interesting election. It may just end up being, and just say this as a Virginian, November 2017. This November, in 4 months, will be seen as an early mini referendum on impeachment. And I hope that if you live in Virginia and you do think the president's gone way too far, you'll vote for the Democrats, because that in itself will be seen as a foreshadowing of things to come. Thanks for your call, Ken. I appreciate it. Let's go to David, line two in Albuquerque. Hey, David.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
I'm good. What's up?
Well, I'm having a nice laugh here today.
I
had heard that the president's lawyer, I believe it's Mark Cassowitz.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, he came out with this little statement, says Trump doesn't lie.
No, this is very interesting. Because Cassowitz is an interesting character in and of himself. So Trump was advised, smartly advised, to get one of these high-powered Washington attorneys, get, a Ted Olson, get a David Boies, get like Jamie Gorelick. She's a very good attorney. She's a Democrat. She's defending Jared Kushner because Jared's smart enough to know he needs a really high power Washington attorney. She's doing a very good job with Jared. But Donald Trump doesn't trust anybody, so the only person he trusts is his own lawyer, Mark Cassowitz, who's been representing him for more than a decade. Cassowitz is the guy who claimed he was going to sue all these women that claimed that Donald Trump sexually assaulted them. He's going to sue them all for defamation. He threatened to do it, and he didn't do it. He's the guy who did end up suing a guy that claimed that Donald Trump wasn't worth $1 billion, and then they couldn't prove Donald Trump was worth $1 billion, so he lost that suit. I mean, this is a guy who has defended all of Donald Trump's corrupt actions for more than a decade, which means he's absolutely a loyal Trump crony who has no respect whatsoever in Washington, and so he makes stupid comments like that.
Yeah, it's amazing. I was just thinking back when Obama was president and how he was saying that he wasn't a born citizen, and he was
crazy stuff
around the world.
Well, you know, I said this for a long time, but it always bears repeating. Donald Trump never planned or intended or wanted to be president. Donald Trump ran for president to improve his brand. He ran for president, his brand, I should say. He ran for president the same reason Ben Carson did, so he could sell more books. He could sell more Trump vodka. He could get more fools to go to Trump University. He thought he'd get 3 to 4 to 5%. He'd make a little splash. He'd get his name out there. It would add to his business. And no one was more surprised than Donald Trump when he won the nomination. It's like the dog that chases the car but doesn't know what to do when he catches the car, right? He just sits there and barks. He's not going to grab the car and drag it home. And, of course, it's been reported that Donald Trump had his concession speech written weeks ago in advance, but didn't even have an acceptance speech ready for when he won, because no one expected Donald Trump to win, least of all Donald Trump. He was completely unprepared. This was all a joke. It's a joke that went bad, like a bad reality show. So now that he actually is president and using the same corrupt business techniques that he's used for decades, tax evasion, fraud, cheating people, stupid people, naive, gullible people out of their life's earnings, putting his brand on other people's products, all these things he's done and made a decent amount of money doing it. He finds he can't do that in the political sphere. And it's interesting to me because there's this whole idea that government is this really corrupt thing. And no doubt there are people in government that are corrupt. Donald Trump's one of them. But the government actually has far more inspector generals and whistleblowers checking for corruption, and that's a good thing, than corporations do. You can actually get away with a lot more crime and fraud and shady business techniques in business than you can in government. Again, that's a good thing. But Donald Trump is taking the same modus operandi he's had for years with this shady lawyer, Mark Kasowitz, and he's finding he's not doing very well in the public sphere. Let's go to Ruth, line 3 in Northampton, Massachusetts. Go ahead, Ruth.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to, I don't know if you've read Tim Snyder's book, Tyranny.
I have not.
Or if you've heard of it.
No.
He really talks about the history of fascism and communism throughout the 20th century,
mm-hmm.
and looks at how democracies fall. And really what we're seeing under Trump is a lot of the beginnings of democracy falling, with the alternative facts that are being put out, the marketing machine that he has, and the resistance that's needed to continue to fight against these not-truths that are being put out. And I think it's a good book for people to look at because it does give you not just the history of it, but a way to fight against what's happening in our country right now.
Thank you for sharing that, Ruth. I agree that we've got to get the truth out. Certainly, frankly, we have to combat all the Russian trolls with things like social media ourselves. Definitely get out and protest, but the most important thing you can do, more important than protesting, is getting out and voting. That's the only real way to change things in America. I mean, even impeachment, we probably won't get without a Democratic House. So you've got to get out and vote in 2018. If you have an election in 2017, get out and vote. And it's not just your vote. If you have time, get out and help a candidate get elected, contribute if you can. That's how we change things in America. And at the end of the day, just attending a protest isn't enough. We'll get to more of your calls and more of Comey's testimony right after this break. Dial in 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Welcome back to The Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. There's no way in the 45 minutes we have in an hour of radio to go over everything that Jim Comey said. There were lots of interesting things that happened today. And I've just hit the highlights. One thing that I thought was also very interesting is that Jim Comey himself admitted he leaked his own memo to a friend to get to the New York Times because he wanted a special prosecutor appointed. Well, he got his wish. Frankly, thank God it was. Can you imagine if Jeff Sessions hadn't recused himself and if a special prosecutor hadn't been appointed, where we'd be as a nation right now? So it's a really good thing he did. Did the president obstruct justice? That was Article 1 of the Articles of Impeachment against Richard Nixon. Well, as Jim Comey put it, he wouldn't quite make that conclusion. That's Mueller's job. But let's play what he said today.
There's no doubt that it's a fair judgment. It's my judgment that I was fired because of the Russia investigation. I was fired in some way to change, or the endeavor was to change the way the Russia investigation was being conducted. That is a very big deal, and not just because it involves me. The nature of the FBI and the nature of its work requires that it not be the subject of political consideration. And then on top of that, you have the Russia investigation itself is vital because of the threat. And I know I should have said this earlier, but it's obvious. If any Americans were part of helping the Russians do that to us, that is a very big deal. And I'm confident that if that is the case, Director Mueller will find that evidence.
I was fired because of the Russian investigation. I was fired to interfere with the Russian investigation. I was fired to obstruct the justice of the Russian investigation. I don't know. Sounds like obstruction of justice to me. Seems like a pretty clear case. Give me an eye for impeachment. When Senator King asked Comey if Trump was telling the truth when he said that in a press conference that he didn't pressure Comey about Flynn. Well, let's hear that exchange real quick.
And at his press conference on May 18th, the president was asked whether he had urged you to shut down the investigation into Michael Flynn. The president responded, quote, no, no. Next question. Is that an accurate statement?
I don't believe it is.
No. The president lied about that, too. All right, time for one last caller. We only got about a minute or two. Dean, line one, Buffalo, New York. Hey, Dean, how are you?
I am very good. I think you've done a great job this afternoon.
Thank you.
It's obvious to anybody who watched the proceedings that James Comey pretty much gave damning evidence.
Very damning. This is the first stage of impeachment. That's why I gave it an eye. I still think there are 10 more acts to go, but it's absolutely the first stage.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. We only got about a minute left. You wanted to talk about John McCain briefly.
Yeah, that whole segment with John McCain, that was really confusing.
It was bizarre.
And you know, it was almost like the fact that he said, well, if you're done with Hillary Clinton, shouldn't you be done with the investigation Donald Trump?
Yeah, completely confusing the two investigations. So there are three theories that I've seen on Facebook. One is that McCain was drunk. One is that he has early onset Alzheimer's. And my theory, frankly, is he's had a mild stroke. He was so out of it. He was so confused. And John McCain just a month or two ago, I think it was on Meet the Press, on a national show, and he was quite cogent and quite logical. And, you know, I don't always agree with John McCain, but I think he can be a forceful presence. He was just Looney Tunes. And I've never said that about John McCain ever before. I've never called him crazy or loony or drunk or having a stroke. This was some weird stuff. But I don't want people to focus too much on it. I feel bad for John McCain. I hope he gets better. What he did today was just out there, and I don't really have any words for it. Thanks for your call, Dean. Thank you, everyone, for listening in today. Keep listening. Keep watching. If you haven't read the 7 pages of the Comey testimony, read it. If you haven't read the 35-page memo about the salacious material that Donald Trump did, the Steele memo, you might find that interesting, too. I'll be back Monday with more of the Inside Scoop. Thanks again. We'll